Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to church this morning. My name is Michelle Bryant Barbeau, and I've been a member for about 2.5 years. I'm your incoming treasurer and a part of the adult religious education program. In the pulpit this morning, we have Bryant Bennett. So you're invited to stay following this worship service for fellowship, conversation, and refreshments in the refreshment hall in the Kate Worker room just behind these doors behind it. And if you're a newcomer this morning, we extend you a special welcome. And our hope is that if this is your first time to visit, you'll consider entering your name on one of the visitor cards that are found in the back of your hymnal and placing that card in the offering plate and handing it to an usher. If you'll do so, we'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know all about the programs and activities going on here at church. If you'd like to learn more about the church and about Unitarian Universalism, please visit the information displays in our fellowship hall right along the back of this Kate Worker room back here, where there are pamphlets, newsletters, and other visitor information. And you're certainly welcome to take any of that home with you. And now, I invite you to turn to your neighbors and greet them, especially if you don't know them. I draw your attentions to the announcements in the order of service. We hope you'll keep these things in mind as you plan your upcoming week. Are there any other announcements for the good of the church? Please step to the mic now.
Who is coordinating the fourth Saturday lunch, which will be next Saturday. She has a sign-up sheet in the worker room and is just asking me to remind you that she still needs people to sign up, so please check it out, and you can come to me if you have any questions.
Hi, Eric Johnson. I have one quick announcement. I'm putting on my stewardship hat. We're coming to the end of the year, so if you have any amount left over on your pledge for this year, if you could please remember to bring it in, that would be great. So.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Timpey, and I just wanted to let everybody know we had our board meeting last week on Wednesday, and we are going to be changing the time of the board meetings to the second Monday at 7. So if anybody's interested in coming, it will be moving from Wednesday to Monday, still the second week of the month.
I'm Char McAllister. I'm just making an announcement in regards to the cleanup. Next Saturday, along with the fourth Saturday, Bob and I would like to have more yard people to come. So bring your gloves, bring your yard tools. There's a little note on the email on some things. So come and have fun so we can beautify our church and beautify the grounds so other people can see it.
I invite you now to move to the microphone and share briefly any joys, milestones, and concerns you may bring with you to church this morning.
Hi, happy Father's Day, all you fathers out there. I'm gonna turn this up. I'm always out there thinking, I wish people would talk into the microphone. Unfortunately, my father, Dick Blanton, can't be here at church on this Father's Day. Some of you might know he's been in and out of the hospital a lot the last few months, and he's back in for the third time since April. He's over at Barnes right now and might get out in the next couple days, unspecified infection. So yeah, it's kind of rough, but But I made this lovely card. There's not a lot of us here today, but if any and all of you could sign it or put a little message for him, he'll get this in the next couple days. After service, I'll be out there during coffee hour. You'll notice I made liberal use of purple masking tape at the liberal church, after all. But yeah, I'll be out there. Thanks.
Eric Johnson had two other things. One, thank you so much, guys, for all the well wishes when pneumonia was ravaging my family. We were a success, though. Total success, because we staved it off from Marty. So, because Marty had her first week at work this past week at Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Eastern Missouri. It's going to be a fabulous job for her. So we were able to do that. So just wanted to also tell you that she had a great first week at work there, and it's going to be just really awesome for her. But thank you so much for all your well wishes for as we battled pneumonia. So, and just as a public service announcement, if you would all start to cough and you got a fever, get in. You get in immediately to where you get in to get seen, okay? I was lucky because Meredith actually went first, but she, it was really serious in her left lung, and the doctor was freaking out over her x-ray. But luckily, I got in really early, but it goes really lightning fast. So I never really understood when people said, oh, I have pneumonia. I was like, okay, whatever. Now I get it. I have incredible empathy for people who do this. But public service announcement, if you're feeling a fever and you start to have the respiratory stuff, get in quick.
The prelude begins our worship service as Rihanna, thank you, lights our chalice. Let us join together today in friendship and companionship. Let us pray together. Let us praise together. Let's worship together. Our first hymn is number 347 in the Gray Hymnal. Gather in the Spirit. Rise as you are able. Thank you. Please join in responsive reading number 440 at the back of your hymnal. Number 440. It's entitled, From the Fragmented World. From the fragmented world of our everyday lives, we gather together in search of wholeness. By diverse and selfish aims are we separated from one another and divided within ourselves. Yet we know that no branch is utterly severed from the tree of life that sustains us all.
We cherish our oneness with those around us and countless generations that have gone before us.
We would hold fast to all of good we inherit, even if we would leave behind us the outworn and the false.
We would escape from bondage to the ideas of our own day and the illusions of our own fancy.
Let us labor in hope for the drawing of a new day without hatred, violence, and injustice.
Let us nurture the growth in our own lives of the love that is shown in the lives of the greatest of men and women. Rays of whose lamps still illumine our way.
In this spirit we gather, in this spirit we pray. We have been greatly blessed. Let us now give generously so that others may be blessed by the work of the church. This morning's offering will now be given and received. Thank you.
Good morning. I'd like to ask the children to come down. Two books to choose from today, so you guys get to choose. There is And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street and Dr. Seuss, or There's No Such Thing as a Dragon. Which one did you guys like? A dragon? You guys okay with dragons? Okay. You're not gonna get scared, are you? Okay. What? Let's see. I'm gonna read it upside down, so we'll see how good we do. Okay. Billy Bixby was rather surprised when he woke up one morning and found a dragon in his room. It was a small dragon, about the size of a kitten. The dragon wagged its tail happily when Billy patted its head. Billy went downstairs to tell his mother. "There's no such thing as a dragon," said Billy's mother. And she said it like she meant it. Billy went back to his room and began to dress the dragon. The dragon came close to Billy and wagged its tail, but Billy didn't pat it. If there's no such thing as a dragon, something it's silly to pat it on the head. Billy washed his face and his hands and went down to breakfast. The dragon went along. It was bigger now, almost the size of a dog. Billy sat down at the table. The dragon sat down on the table. This sort of thing was not usually permitted. But there wasn't much Billy's mother could do about it. She had already said there was no such thing as a dragon. And if there's no such thing, you can't very well tell it to get down off the table. Mother made some pancakes for Billy, but the dragon ate them all. Mother made some more, but the dragon ate those too. Mother kept making pancakes until she ran out of the batter. Billy got only one of them. But he said that's all he really wanted anyway. Billy went upstairs to brush his teeth. Mother started cleaning the table. The dragon, who was nearly as big as Mother by this time, made himself comfortable on the hall rug and went to sleep. By the time Billy came back downstairs, the dragon had grown so much he filled the hall. Billy had to go around by way of the living room to get where his mother was. "I didn't know dragons grew so fast," said Billy. "There's no such thing as a dragon," said Mother firmly. Cleaning the downstairs took Mother all morning, what with the dragon in the way, and having to climb in and out of windows to get from room to room. By noon, the dragon filled the house. Its head hung out the front door, its tail hung out the back door, and there wasn't a room in the house that didn't have some part of the dragon in it. When the dragon awoke from his nap, he was hungry. A bakery truck went by. The smell of fresh bread was more than the dragon could resist. The dragon ran down the street after the bakery truck. The house went along, of course, like the shell on a snail. The mailman was just coming up the path with some mail for the Bixbys when their house rushed past him and headed down the street. He chased the Bixby's house for a few blocks, but he couldn't catch it. When Mr. Bixby came home from lunch, the first thing he noticed was the house was gone. Luckily, one of the neighbors was able to tell him which way it went. Mr. Bixby got into his car and went looking for his house. He studied all the houses as he drove along. Finally, he saw one that looked familiar. Billy and Miss Bixby were waving from an upstairs window. Mr. Bixby climbed over the dragon's head onto the porch roof and through the upstairs window. "How did this happen?" Miss Bixby asked. "It was a dragon," said Billy. "There's no such thing as dragon," Mother started to say. "There is a dragon," Billy insisted, "a very big dragon." And Billy patted the dragon on the head. The dragon wagged its tail happily. Then even faster than it had grown, the dragon started to getting smaller. Soon it was kitten size again. "I don't mind dragons this size," said Mother. "Why did it have to grow so big?" "I'm not sure," said Billy, "but I think it just wanted to be noticed." And that's the end. All right, that's it. I don't know if you guys are going anywhere, but all right. Okay.
My notes. All right. I have one reading this morning. It's by Samuel Clemens, also known as Mark Twain. It goes, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand him around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years." Our prayer today is by Kirk D. Lloydman. I found it on the UU website. It doesn't give where he's from or anything like that. So let us pray. Let us pray those fathers who, despite divorce, have remained in their children's lives. Let us pray for those fathers whose children are adopted and whose love and support has often offered healing. Let us pray those fathers who, as stepfathers, freely choose the obligation of fatherhood and earn their stepchildren's love and respect. Let us pray those fathers who have lost the children to death and continue to hold the child in their heart. Let us pray those men who have no children but cherish the next generation as if they were their own. Let us praise those men who have fathered us in the role as mentors and guides. Let us pray those men who are about to become fathers, may they openly delight in their children. And let us pray those men who have died but live in our memory and whose love continues to nurture us. Amen. All right, before I begin, my name is Brian Bennett. We have been members of the church since April of this year. We've started coming probably around January or February. With us today, I have my wife and my daughters, Marcy and Brianna in the back, and Mackenzie and Lainey's in the children's room. Okay. The service today is pretty much about my being a father and becoming a father and what my father has done for me and growing up. I was born October 22nd, 1978, in Silver Springs, Maryland. Marcy and I were married July 3rd, 1999, a week after she graduated and a few days after she turned 18. It will be our 13th anniversary this year, come July 3rd. The day I found out I was going to be a dad, I was in Okinawa, Japan, and I called home and was talking to Marcy. And then kind of out of the blue, she's like, so do you want to tell your mom? I said, tell my mom what? She said, tell her that I'm pregnant. I was like, well, I guess I'm going to be doing that. So that was one of the happiest days of my life, except for the fact that I was in another country and I was not able to do that, you know, do the testing and the ultrasounds, the sonograms, all the pictures and all that stuff. Though, when we did live in California before that, I wanted to be a father so bad, I took Marcy's pills and I threw them all in the trash, hoping that it would work, but apparently it didn't. I don't know if she found some somewhere. But we were just eight, she was 18 and I was 20, so it's, I guess it was probably better that way than it was the other way. So I think the military helped me out as being a father by giving me the courage and the strength and the discipline to take on the challenge. Because if I would have had it in California when we were 20 and 18, I don't know how things would have turned out. I'm sure it would have been okay, but there's a lot of changes between Okinawa and here and everything. The day Brianna was born, I flew home from Okinawa and surprised Marcy a few weeks before her birthday. I was getting ready to go fishing one night, and of course, you know, things had to change. About 12 or 1 in the morning, Marcy's water had broke. So there goes that outing, I thought. No more fishing for me. So off to the hospital we went. Brianna was born June 30th, 2001 at 2:08 p.m. She weighed 8 pounds, 15 ounces, and 21 inches. As soon as she was born, the doctor said, it's a boy. I said, great, here's our Anakin. You know, I'm a big Star Wars freak, so that's what we went with. Marcy didn't enjoy it, but hey. And then all of a sudden, the doctor turned and said, wait, it's a girl. Okay. So luckily, we had a girl's name picked out as well. So, so it was Brianna. That night, Brianna stayed in our room, and the nurse had walked in, and she was looking around, making sure everything was okay, and she couldn't find Brianna. So she started yelling, where's the baby? Where's the baby? Where's the baby? And then I finally woke up, and I was like, what? What's going on? She's like, where's the baby? I said, she's right here. Brianna and I were laying on the couch, kind of cuddling each other, and she yelled at me for that. Apparently, you're not supposed to do that. She either supposed to sleep in her bassinet or be fed, so that wasn't very good in her eyes anyway. It was great in mine because we were cuddling, so and we're sleeping really, really good. About a week or so after that, I headed back to Okinawa for a few more months. During that time, I got my favorite book in the mail, which is The Pokey Little Puppy. And then the computer, you're able to do some stuff on the computer, but not Facebook, no MySpace or anything like that. So I was able to record me reading the book on the computer, and then I was able to email that piece by piece to Marcy. And so when Brianna was a baby, she'd play that for Brianna a couple of times so she could hear my voice. Since that time, I have tried my hardest to be there every step of the way. Which being in the same country is a big step. So, from things like the graduations of preschool, to plays, to concerts, to dance recitals, to horseback riding lessons, and such. I've made a few mistakes along the way, as well as times I ran out of gas in our Jeep, and we had to get a truck to push us through the intersection. Brianna has not let me live that down yet. She may have been 3 or 4 at the time, but I think that scarred her for life. Oh, and there was this one time where I took the gall, I had the gall to take the training wheels off of her bike, and I refused to put them on. Until one day I said, I'll put the training wheels on the bike if you ride down the hill and fall off, then I'll put the training wheels on. And I never put them back on after that day. She rode down the hill and took off down the street. And now she's on her third bike. This one has gear shifters and handbrakes and everything. So I guess that wasn't really a mistake after all. That was just being a dad. In November 2006, we found out that we were pregnant again with another girl. I thought, really? Another girl? I'm outnumbered already. Our cats, our dog, they're all girls. I think even our fish are girls. We were so excited to be together during this pregnancy, going to doctor's appointments and such. Hearing heartbeats for the first time, it was great. Lying on Marcy's stomach, the baby didn't like, you know, her space being constricted. So she would push and kick, and you could feel her feet and her hands and her head move around. Until July 11th, when I got a call at work, Marcy was going to the hospital. She hadn't felt the baby move for a long time. I left work. Sorry. Oh, goodness. I left work and went to the hospital in time to go in her and with her to get the ultrasound. Annalie's heart had stopped beating. They had to induce Marcy. Annalie was born June 13th. She had an umbilical cord wrapped around her neck several times, which had caused her to suffocate, or technically for the blood to stop flowing to the brain. We did take the option to hold her and get some pictures with her before they had to take her away, which is one of the pictures here. I still have the shirt unwashed that I wore that day. It still has stains on it from her. That also made being a father really hard. Lots of people would say, well, you still have Brianna, or you guys can always try again. I always thought, that's not the point. You're not supposed to outlive your children. A friend of ours had a similar instance when she was younger, and she would always say, thank God these people don't know what you're going through, and thank God that they don't know. Since that time, Marcy and I have taken up the idea of fostering to adopt, and we figured that fostering to adopt would be the cheapest, but maybe not be the easiest way of doing it. We wanted to adopt for several years. We thought from Japan or China, and then we did decide, you know, locally we would go ahead and start fostering. We both wanted to adopt for a long time, since I saw Oliver Twist probably as a young boy, and her favorite movie was Annie, so I guess it had some things to do with it. So we took the classes, and we now have two beautiful girls and two very good friends, whom we love as much as our own little girls. It's not hard to fall in love with these kids. The day we got Lainey, she was calling us mommy and daddy by the end of the night. Since then, we've had so many firsts, like taking them to the zoo, riding the Metrolink, going to ball games, having a bike, going fishing. A lot of the children, they don't get that, the ones that have been in foster care. All right, now the hard part. What my father has done for me. There's not really much I can say good about my father that's nice per se, at least in a church setting anyway. My mother and father lived in Silver Springs, Maryland when I was born, and about one or so, they got a divorce. My mother moved back to Illinois, and me and my sister had gone with her. She was about 4 or 5 years old. About 5 or 6 years old, I got to go and see my dad for the first time. We went out every summer after that, flew to Maryland, and then came back home. Where he taught me how to fish, how to shoot, camping, you know, just basic dad stuff, kinda. He didn't teach me how to ride a bike. He never taught me how to throw a ball. He never taught me how to swim, how to drive a car. He did get remarried when I was around 10 or 11 years old. I did, however, move out there to live with him for 2 years. During that time, my sister was born on October 2nd. And then a year after that, I decided that's enough for me, so then I moved back to Mom. My father did, however, come to my high school graduation. That was probably the last time he came here, except for when he found an old Mustang that he wanted to buy. So he brought his old Jeep out to me, which is the one that ran out of gas. So it wasn't running at the time, so I had fixed it, so it was actually able to move. But he did have ulterior motives. Like I said, he found an old Mach 1 Mustang that he just had to have for some reason. He didn't come to my Marine Corps graduation. He didn't come to Marcy and I's wedding. He didn't come the day that his granddaughter was born. He didn't come to Annalise's funeral. He did, however, call once during that time, if that makes any sense. Maybe if he can remember on my birthday and Christmas, he'll call, which surprisingly this year he did. So there are a lot of traits I would use towards my children, and there's a lot of traits that I wouldn't. I guess my father showed me what not to do than what to do as a father. This hasn't changed the way I feel about being a dad. In fact, I think it makes me stronger for it. After all these children's lives have come to us to nurture and to love until their path leads them somewhere else. All right. Okay. All right. Our next hymn is going to be hymn 1053 in the teal hymnal. And the one after that, oh, I'm sorry, I skipped a hymn. Okay, all right, the next one will be 1053, and then that will be it. Please rise if you're able. Few closing words. Semper Fidelis, may we send our thoughts and prayers to our fighting men and women overseas who have fought for our freedom to be here today. And lastly, enjoy the ride wherever it may take you, down the highway of life. Remember to take the back roads sometime, because you never know what you might find. Go out, have a great Father's Day, and thank you. this is my first time doing this, so I think I made it safely through. There you go.